Morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you all to Jenkins Church this morning. A little overcast, but we're all here and accounted for. Let us right now take a moment, greet your neighbor in the pew next to you. Say good morning. Shake their hand, hug their neck.
Hi, neighbor.
Hello, neighbor.
They'll be passing out the attendance books if they haven't done already, and if you would register your attendance and pass that down to your neighbor in the pew next to you. Let us check for first-time visitors this morning. Any first-time visitors in the section to my left? Anyone here for the first time? All right. Anyone in the middle section here for the first time? All right, section to my right. First time visitor, yes. All right. Pleasure to have you all this morning. Welcome. Anybody else, first time visitors? All right. If not, we're going to go to our announcements at this time. There's still lots of things taking place that's in our bulletin. Maybe some that's not printed in our bulletin. Any announcements this morning that we need to be aware of? Yes, Deborah. Kids for Christ at 5 o'clock here at the church. Okay. Announcements? Any other announcements? Yes, Susan. Any other announcements needs to be brought to our attention this morning? Yes.
This is a comment. Last night in Triune, there was a joyful noise that was made by a number of area churches, and it was wonderful. It was a fundraiser for Meals on Wheels. I don't have a final total of how much was raised, but it was wonderful seeing the different churches from Nolensville to Eagleville participate, hearing the different music. But there's something, it weren't there. I thank for everybody who came to support us, for everybody who kept the same, for Samantha, for dragging us into it, because I don't think it was, except to make the network connection there, that we all had to do it. At the end, though, when the mass are united in one voice to sing the same testimony song that we sung here at Easter called You're the Christ, but it's Peter's response to Jesus when he said, "Who you say I am." And that song, 60, 70 some people in one voice saying, "You are the Christ." And then after that, we sang "How Great Thou Art." It was a mountaintop experience. And people who didn't know each other were hugging and not wanting to leave. It was just an incredible moment. I thought the roof was going to come off, or Jesus was going to come back right in the when we sang, "When Christ Shall Come," the shouts of acclamation. It was just incredible. So I think the community choir is something that's going to continue, and because it was just one of those moments last night. Mm-hmm. Very spiritually moving and very unifying in our local churches. So thanks all who in any way participated, and if you can sit up there, please come join us next time.
All right. Thank you, Melanie. Anybody else? Any other announcements? If not, at this time I will turn to our prayer concerns. I'm sure there are many who need continual prayer. There's a lot on the list. Any additions, any updates, anyone need to be taken off? Prayers of praise, prayers of concern? Go ahead.
I would ask you to play Pray for a friend of mine, Jerry Lamadou. She had some breast surgery about 2.5 years ago, and she now has cancer in her lungs and liver, and it's inoperable. However, she is seeking holistic medicine within the coming weeks. So please pray for Jerry. She's a very, very significant mother of a good friend of mine, so please pray for her. And I would like to give a word of praise for something I saw yesterday. Maybe many of you saw the Kentucky Derby yesterday. I'll be brief, but the man who was the trainer of the horse that won yesterday was on an airplane that crashed in Iowa City, Iowa, 18 years ago. It killed many, many people on board there, but he rescued a little boy and a little girl from that plane wreckage and got them away from the wreckage and told them to run as hard as they could and not look back. And those two children, who are now grown, were at the Kentucky Derby yesterday to see the horse that he had trained to win the Kentucky Derby. And Michael Matz is this man's name, and he was very humble. But just to hear him speak and what he had done for those children, saving their lives, and then how he had been placed where he was in the situation that he was in was a remarkable thing. And I know that God must have been working through it. It was a good thing to say. Particularly having won that, trained that horse, and then being humble about it. And I thank God for humble people.
Any other prayer concerns, prayers of praise? Yes. Family of Dorothy Patterson. Okay.
Yes. Our co-worker Charlotte Johnston is having to make a decision about a mission trip to Peru this summer. She's already committed to going for a 10-day trip, but she's been invited to stay for 6 weeks and just needs to let them know by Wednesday. She's a young lady, single lady, would be the only English-speaking person there for about a period of 3 weeks, and her parents are very concerned. This is a mission her grandfather started in Peru, so she feels that God has called that she'll be there this summer. So she's got to make that decision of staying for 10 days and staying for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
That's whether we help.
Sure. Anyone else this morning? Yes, Deborah.
As I mentioned, Daddy had been in the hospital two or three times over the past several months, but he is home now. He had had a lot of swelling in his legs that's now going on. So hopefully he'll keep his diet under control for swelling. And also my mom, for her retirement as a 59 years old the same company.
Wow.
I'm hoping that she can adjust to staying at home.
She better have a serious hobby. Wow. 59 years. Okay. Kelly?
Just wanted to tell everybody thank you for their prayers and concern and good wishes that you did have my surgery on Tuesday and it went real well and we're all good.
Glad you're here this morning. Yes. Someone else? Anyone else?
Myrtle Prudenthal is not doing well at all. She got better in the middle of the week, but Friday she was very, very sick. The family of Joyce Ball. Joyce is the grandmother of the Ball children, Ashley, John, and Savannah. So she passed away this week, so lift them up. Reverend Ronnie Pittinger's brother passed away Friday a week and 2 days ago, and we didn't know this till I think Monday we learned about it, and so lift up the Pittinger family. Also, Sarah Strasser, Chad's wife Sarah, was back in the hospital this week, but she's home now, I understand, and lift her up in your prayer. Her lupus is acting up. That's three out there. Also, we're going to have a group from Bethel College. This may be an announcement, but a prayer concern too. A group from Bethel College to come to sing on the night of the 20th we need spaces to house about 30 college students the night of the 20th. They will sing here at 7 o'clock. We'll feed them supper between 5 and 7. And Pete Franciscan has got this sheet of paper back there. He'll wave to you. If you'd like it, hold up your hand. He'll bring it to you. You can take one or four or however many. We have about 15 spots already taken, people already taken care of. And we'll, the 54 in the group, but many of them live in Nashville, so they'll go home that night. So we want to offer this as an opportunity. Also, ask you to pray for the musical presentation. We'll be inviting area churches also to be with us. They have a great program. I've seen it a couple of times, and anxious to hear see it and hear it again. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Go ahead. There have been lots that have been added this morning. If you would, if you have made a request, if you'd write their name down on the index card and throw it in the offering plate when the offering's passed by, that way we get the correct spelling. And if you'd pray for these folks as often as possible. And now if you would pause for a moment of silence as we prepare ourselves for worship this morning. Amen. This morning is responsive. It is printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin. If you would follow along with me, please. I am the good shepherd, say the Lord. I know my own, and my own know me.
My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me.
Oh, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God. We are the Lord's people. The flock that God shepherds.
Let's all stand now, turn in our hymnals to hymn 97. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He chose and freed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and from him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace, and from him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe, on this terrestrial wall, to him all majesty ascribe, and from him Lord of all.
bow together as we pray. Lord God, we know You to be Lord of all. Lord of this world. Lord of the universe. And we come this day, O Lord, to say, we crown You Lord of all. We crown You Lord of our lives. Thank You, Lord, that You will be our Lord, and let us be the subjects. Let us be Your people. And Lord, as we have come together, we pray for the presence of Your Spirit amongst us, that we might truly know Your Lordship. In the name of Jesus, we pray, praying now as He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing. We will state the Apostles' Creed in unison, expressing in words what we believe as the basic tenets of the Christian faith. It's at 716, or it's displayed on the wall behind me.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From which He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Holy Jesus, the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
We have our call to confession, confessing our sins. If you'll join me in unison shortly, and then we'll have a moment for silent confession. This morning is taken from 1 John, 1 chapter, 8th verse. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, if you'll join me in unison. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against You in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone, we have not loved You with our whole heart, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In Your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in Your work, and walk in Your ways, to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. The Lord can forgive us of any of our sins, and we have that assurance of forgiveness. It's taken from 1 John, 1 chapter, 9th verse. If we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Turn your hymns now, if you will, please, to hymn 350. We're going to sing 1 and 4. Hymn 350, 1 and 4.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the strength of the Lord. He thought Jesus, how I trust Him, how I'm proving more and more. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I'm proving more and more. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
It is children's time, but the boys and girls will come on down. And if you'll stay in church, there's no children's church today because we're having communion. So if you'll stay here with your moms and dads.
Protecting the baby chicken. And he knows that all the way to Christ. My job is God gets cold and hungry.
Yeah.
He feels sad when people are cold and hungry. God is shiver when he sees old Joey, a poor and old. When he snows, I think I'll give him my bedding. Does God ever cry for cold? Yes, I think he does. Because of the cold and hungry people? Yes. When people can't live together without fighting, when the pony pulls Sarah's hair, it's so long she can sit on it. My girl, God has said the animals and the birds and the forest and the hills and every cow and a thousand hills. Maybe you might want us to be too fast. Does God ever say, Papa? Probably. He rejoices with the fields and the sings with the trees on the rivers one day.
At this time, we express our thanks to God with the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning taken from Exodus chapter 35, verse 29. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commended them to do. If the ushers would please come forward.
Let us take you to the foot of the cross where Mary hears her son say, "Father, it is finished."
as we conclude the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, or that aspect of this service, I invite us to just go right into singing number 72, and let that be a part of our communion of the Lord's Supper celebration. If these will come and assist, Pete Franciscan, Melanie Stout, Sherry Windrow, Gary Bomar, Ruth Bowers, and Diane Riggs. If you will assist at the table. The Apostle Paul wrote a great deal concerning the celebration of the communion or the celebration of the Lord's Supper. For we, in a sense, commune with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, we have these words concerning the supper. It's a question, two questions, and the obvious answer, to me at least, is yes. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? From the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul gave detailed instructions concerning what the Lord Jesus had revealed to him concerning the observance of the celebration of the supper. Hear these words, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then back to the words of Paul, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." So as we come to the table this morning, we come to remember, but we also come to show forth or reveal or make known, at least to those around us, that we are trusting in the death of Jesus for our sin. This is the Lord's table before you. And all who trust in the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior are invited to eat and drink. You're not required to be a member of this congregation or even the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. If you belong to the Lord through your faith in Him, we invite you, even encourage you, to join us as we commune one with another and with Jesus. O Lord, our God, remember how Jesus gave us this meal, this remembrance time. We have called it a sacrament, a way to reflect on and express our appreciation, our thanksgiving for your great sacrifice for us. Lord, we pray your blessing upon this bread, that it nourish us spiritually as we remember how much you love us and how Jesus went to the cross to show that love, even while we were yet sinners. Thank you and amen. Cheer, if you will eat, remembering his love for you, shown through the death of Christ, and serve Gary.
and the cup, the fruit of the vine, is it not communing with Jesus? Lord God, we thank You that Jesus was willing to shed His blood, that You were willing for Him to shed His blood for the remission of our sin. We drink of this cup, thanking You, remembering, proclaiming. Lord, we do it until Jesus comes to claim us as His own. In His name we offer our prayer. Amen. Remember His blood shed for you. And allow this to be a communion with Him. Elders, serve the people. People we eat and drink, remembering how much God loves us and how He showed it through the death of His Son for our salvation.
Your lesson this morning is printed inside your bulletin, or you can follow along in your Bible. There's four different places it comes from today. We start with the first verse in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And now from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, and the firstborn, and among the dead, from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was so pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Turn in your hymnals again for another chorus. 73. He is worthy.
Glory and honor.
glory and honor and power. For thou hast created as all things created, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created, for thou art worthy, O Lord.
Who is number one in your life? I want to challenge you today, as well as remind you to get the right person in the number one spot in your lives. Challenge myself also to get the number one person, the right person, in the number one spot in my life. But I also challenge you. I was driving down Church Street a few weeks ago. I saw something that I said, I've got to use that in the sermon, and I've been saving it for all of this time. I'm not sure how many weeks ago. Church Street in Nashville. I was going west. We came to 20th Street. I was the second car in line as we stopped for the red light. I read the bumper sticker. Now, folks, I don't like bumper stickers. I don't like bumper stickers because in 1960, bumper stickers were spread over so many cars. The summer of 61, they were still sticking to cars. And I worked at a service station, and my job was to clean the bumper stickers off of the bumpers. Most of the bumpers then were chrome bumpers, but it is difficult to get a bumper sticker off of even a chrome bumper. I was afraid I would scratch the chrome, and people who had chrome bumpers back then didn't want it scratched. I don't think I've ever put a bumper sticker on my car and dare anybody to try. I mean, what if they do? Well, I'll just be hurt. I'll just be hurt. But the bumper sticker in front of me, I read them all the time, and you can learn a lot about people. You can learn about their theology. You can learn about their outlook on life. You can just learn about people if you read their bumper stickers. Now, it's okay if you want them, and if you put a lot on them, I can tell a lot about you. Others can, too. And that's what they're for. They tell whether you're Christian or not Christian, whether your fish is a fish, or whether it is a fish with legs on it, or whether it's a fish eating the fish with legs on it. Okay, that all goes to Darwin, right? You can tell if you're a Republican or a Democrat or independent, or way back there, I still remember, it was a long time after he was gone, but they said, I like Ike. Others say, don't blame me, I voted for thus and so. And we can see so much about bumper stickers. This bumper sticker was not a political one, I don't think. It was a personal one. It screamed at me. The bumper sticker said, back off. And that wasn't all. It said, I'm a goddess. Wow. That person thought they were number one, did they not? Now, the confusing thing about this screaming bumper sticker was that a man was driving the car. Can you believe it? I'm a goddess on a man's car. But the redeeming part of that, there was a woman sitting in the passenger seat, and the bumper sticker was on the right side of the bumper. So I guess he had put it on for her, or she had put it on for everybody else. I'm not sure. They were going to the hospital, though. Goddesses get sick, too, I guess. And he was driving. Westminster Confession of Faith. Westminster, there's not an I in the last part. Westminster Confession of Faith. Confession of Faith, 1640s. It was compiled in England by a group of people trying to bring the churches of England and Scotland together. They had been warring for so many years, and they got tired of warring, I think, or fighting, and they came together and they compiled a
confessional statement for the Protestant churches of the Reformed tradition that were following John Calvin, are Presbyterians. And they developed not only a confessional statement or a statement of beliefs, they developed a way to teach the people in the church the basic tenets of the Christian faith through the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, etc., etc., etc. And it was a question and answer deal. And they developed a larger catechism, about 196 questions, and then a shorter catechism of about, I think it's 107 questions. I think I'm right, and somebody else can go count. The figures don't matter. And you ask the person a question, and they have memorized the answer, and they can tell you. The first question, in the shorter and the larger, is what's the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And the larger catechism has one more word than the shorter catechism in that question. The Bible tells us often, if that is our rule of faith and practice, the Bible tells us often, it tells us over and over, many times, the importance of glorifying God, and it tells us really that is our purpose. Some of us have missed that, and I did say us. Some of us missed that. I was how old, I'm not sure, before it dawned on me that my purpose is not for my purpose is not for my pleasure. My purpose in life is to bring pleasure and glory to God. That glorifying God is the main purpose of our existence has certainly escaped some of us. And this may be the first time that some of you have heard that, especially if you were a teenager. Some may exclaim, well, I didn't know that. And I was probably 25, somewhere along the way. And I learned, I'm a slow learner, remember. I was pretty old before I realized that my purpose was to glorify God. I could truly exclaim, well, I didn't know that. Our number one purpose in life is to glorify God. That means God is number one. No matter what we think, God is still number one. We are His creation. And as His creation, we are to give Him glory, and we're to give Him the glory because glory is due to Him. And He desires our giving Him glory. We give Him glory for who He is. He's God. And explain that, and you win something big if you can explain God. He's beyond your explanation or my explanation. He's the Creator. We glorify God for who He is and what He has done. He's God. He created, then He redeemed. But do we glorify God? Even church people, people who are disciples of Jesus, even the Jesus' disciples that were with Him throughout His earthly time, did they think much about glorifying Him? I refer back to the 6th chapter of John, where some people were following Jesus, and He began to talk about the hard matters of following Him, and they said, this is too hard, we can't follow this. They left and went away and just left a few to follow. They were not ready to put Him first. They had gone to Him for what He could do for them, and He had fed 5,000 a meal, and they were so happy, and they thought if they followed Jesus, they wouldn't have to work for food anymore. They wouldn't even have to go to McDonald's. He had just provided wherever they were, I guess. My observation, and I believe that it's a good observation, I'll argue that it's a good observation, is that many have taken more seriously the second phrase of the answer to the first question in the catechism than we have taken the second phrase more seriously than we have the first phrase. The first phrase is, man's chief end is to glorify God. The second phrase is, and to enjoy Him forever, and the larger catechism says to fully, I believe it's fully enjoy Him forever. So our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And some of us have just skipped over
the first phrase. We just said, my purpose is just to enjoy what God has for me. And that's part of it, but it's only part of it. And it's the second part of it. And if we get that part first, before the first part, where I'm convinced we're in real trouble. I think the life shows that. And the Bible teaches that. We've made, though, enjoying Him the number one situation. Enjoying Him is number one in many people's lives, not glorifying Him. Friends, can you argue that it's a me world that we live in? Many people, you may be one of them, but surely not, because you're here this morning. Many people, though, believe that the world revolves around them. Do you know anybody like that? My wife can probably say that she does. Probably every family has one person at least, and only one can survive in this with this belief, one in each family. Probably every family has one person that believes that the world revolves around them. And it's that person that always gets their way. And every time they get their way, that reaffirms to them at least that they're number one in their mind. You know, as a teenager, I tried to be number one in our family. But there's a problem there. I had two sisters, and both of them were vying for the same position. And it was war sometime when we were trying to say who would be number one. If we're number one at home, there's a problem. We transfer it to other places outside the home. If we're number one at home, we transfer it to work. We want to be number one at work. If we're number one at work and home, we transfer it to our play. Or if we're number one at play, we want to transfer it to our work. If we're number one at work and play and home, we want to transfer that to the church. And if we're number one throughout our life, or led to believe that, if nobody ever says you're not number one, we transfer it all the way to the graveyard. And if you don't believe that, drive through any cemetery and see who's got the biggest grave marker. I'm number one. I've had the biggest grave marker. What good it does us, I don't know. But think about it. Parents may be to blame for their children thinking they're number one. Especially that first child that they waited so long for. We waited 7 years for Susan, and boy, we thought she was number one. When she was born, it was necessary to cater to her every need. She couldn't wait on herself. So we went every time she whined, we went and responded. A bottle, a diaper, etc., etc., etc. But some people never told their child, that wasn't me, some people never told their child that they were not number one. They just kept on letting them believe it. I believe that this shows up in the divorce rate in this country. Amen. Because everybody, both of them, think they're number one. Let's think of that bumper sticker. Was that person trying to make a statement? I think she was trying to say, I'm number one, at least in this family and on this highway. Did you know that until the year 1543, and if my research is correct, I found some more mistakes in my notes that I handed you, found two verses wrong. But until 1543, it was generally accepted that the earth was the center of the universe. Did you know that? Only for the past, 400 years, 500 years have we believed that that the earth was not the center of the universe. It was a shock to some people to learn that the earth was not the center of the universe, but that the sun was. One guy looked up one day and studied and drew some graphs and everything, and he says, you know, we're not the center of the universe. The sun is. The earth revolves around the sun. Not that the sun revolves around the earth. And people denied his belief, his understanding, his discovery for 50 years, at least. His name was Copernicus. Copernicus? Copernicus, is that close enough? Copernicus. Okay. Copernicus. I didn't know that guy. Didn't know how to pronounce his name. He told the truth about the earth and the sun, and then Galileo came along. We know that name. We can say that one. Galileo came along, and he said, Copernicus is right. Getting good. Copernicus is right. And you know what the church did? They threw him out. Don't want a fellow like that in the church. They locked him up. Put him out. Put him in jail. Max Lucado, and I've leaned on Max Lucado's book, It's Not About Me, for this sermon a great deal. Max Lucado says what Copernicus did for the earth, God does for us if we'll listen to him. Says that God's tapping us on the shoulder, our common shoulder, and points to the Son, S-O-N, Jesus, and says, behold, Jesus is the center of it all. Not you, not me. Some verses tell us that God and Jesus being God in the flesh, are number one. New Testament verses are printed. The one from Colossians, the one from Philippians, tell us what Jesus is. You can read them. The Message translation, a new version of the Bible, relatively new version of the Bible, is called the Message. It's a very loose translation. But hear this from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22. God raised Christ from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe. Wow. Everything from galaxies to governments. No names, no powers are exempt from his rule. Not even me. Not just for the time being, but forever. He, Jesus, is in charge of it all. And he has the final word on everything. He is at the center. And he rules the church. Nakato says, God does not exist to make a big deal out of us. We exist to make a big deal out of God. Friends, it's not about us. It's about Him. And I hope I've challenged you to think in those terms this morning. Or if you already knew that and knew it and were living that, a reminder that you're on the right track. It's not about us. It's all about Him. What's the number of the song? 368. Let's sing the first and the fourth stanza. Let's stand together. And maybe someone would say, I've come to realize today that I'm not the center of it all, but that Jesus is. 368.
Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being ransomed out, all my thoughts and words and doings, all for Jesus, all for Jesus,
we're going to look up the verses in the sermon notes on the also line right near the bottom. It's 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's not 6:31. It's 10:31. It's Leviticus 10:3, not 10:13. Leviticus 10:3, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you a great understanding of who He is and who we are. Amen.